Our thoughts are going to be in the 8th chapter of Job this morning, in a particular verse there. So, the weather girl tells us to batten down the hatches. There's a storm coming in. Perhaps Storm Chandra or her brother Deepak or something like that. So, trees are uprooted, roofs ripped off like paper, cars roll across the road like tumbleweed, whole houses, people's homes blow away, gone. Tides surge, waves destroy seawalls, streets turn into paddy fields, and in a maelstromic moment, everything is gone. And all that is left is the stillness and the devastation. It happens. It's happening in places in the world today. Climate change, severe weather warnings, besides geopolitical turmoil, economic meltdown, World War III, Trump as president, there's a lot for people to think about just now, and we're only in February. I wonder what the year holds ahead. Now, whilst my parents worried about inflation and blackouts and oil prices in the 70s, I remember we played football on the back street, touch and slam and things like that. But now we are the parents and the grandparents. So how do you deal with such news? And how do you deal with such news? What is your life built on? It's an important consideration and an apt consideration for us this morning. Psalm 82 verse 5 assures us they do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness, all the foundations of the earth are unstable. My title for this morning's message is Words Without Knowledge. It's a catchy phrase which caught my eye from this book of Job. And there are three things that I'd like to say, three things that I want you to do and for you to take away this morning. And they are to, first of all, read the book of Job, preferably with a little guide. You can get little commentaries and guides to help you get into the sometimes archaic expressions, because we don't talk like this anymore, and it can be a little difficult to work out what's actually being said. So it's very handy to have a little guide. There are lots available. Secondly, consider faith, especially if you are not a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Consider faith. There's a great deal that you and I do not know. We walk around in darkness, and God's word is a light and a lamp to our lives. And thirdly, trust God, especially if you are a believer this morning. We live in difficult, interesting times. You don't want to live in interesting times, but here we are. And so in times like this, if you are a believer, trust God. So those three things. So I read from Job 8 a short while ago. Job 8, we find the second of Job's friends are answering Job in his situation. His friends take turns to give him their advice. And chapter 8 is a turn of Bildad. But it's verse 9 that really grabbed a hold of me and became something of a mind worm when I read it. Bildad says, "For we were born yesterday and know nothing." Now, we might not like it, but it's so true, isn't it? I think Bildad is right on the money there in those words. And this is just another example of how the book of Job has value, useful wisdom for us to soak up. Job is one of the books of wisdom, along with Ecclesiastes and Proverbs. And if God has handed down this wisdom, then you and I should gather it in. Wisdom is knowledge applied. Most of the time we live off knowledge, but we have to apply these things. We were born yesterday and know nothing. First of all, I want to commend the book of Job to you and say, read the book. So I know that it's probably not the first book that you turn to when you're reading God's word. I guess it's not the second or the third either. Most likely, I would imagine that Job is similar to the minor prophets in your Bibles. The minor prophets are those pages that are the cleanest and the less written on and the least read. And Job is a little bit like that, not often read. And it's highly likely that the book of Job isn't your go-to comfort read when you feel that you need some help and comfort. In fact, it's not anybody's favourite book that I know. If it's yours this morning, I'd be interested to hear from you. But it's not anybody's favourite book that I'm aware of. And that's why, perhaps, that Job has a difficult time endearing itself to anyone. Now, those of you who have a keen memory this morning might remember that I did quote Job previously in my message just before the new year, December the 29th, I think it was. But this morning, it's the main act. It's a main focus of our attention, not just a quote. And I'd like, if I may, to bump up its stock this morning and commend the book of Job to you. Read the book. And if I can again draft in 2 Timothy 3:16, remember, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Yes, even the book of Job, difficult though it might sometimes be. We're told, in fact, it will help to make us thoroughly equipped. What does that mean? Well, it means an all-round, properly prepared Christian, prepared for life in this world and afterwards. So read the book. Now, those of you who are on the 2-year Bible reading program, I think you probably read Job last year, round about this time. But I'd say to you, dust it off, read it again. All of you, dust off the book of Job and read God's word there. So why bother reading Job? Because I can guarantee that you will find things, if you read it with a right attitude, that is, you read it because you want to and not because you have to, because it's the next book in your reading program. And if you read it asking the Lord, "Lord, show me your truth here in this book. Lord, light my path today through this book." If you read it with that attitude of heart, I can guarantee that you will find interesting things, thought-provoking things, things which will stick in your head, because the Holy Spirit will make them stick in your head and use them to build up your faith in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can guarantee that's going to happen. Last time when I quoted Job, our brother Mark is not here this morning, but I'm sure he won't mind. He told me afterwards that he was amazed by that Pleiades verse. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, ask me afterwards and I'll fill you in there. And Job 8 verse 9 was one of those things that stuck in my head. We were born yesterday and know nothing. Timeless words. They apply to every age and to us here this morning. But they are so true, aren't they? And I can guarantee that in Job you will see brilliant flashes of insight into life, into faith, into the human condition. And there will be thoughts and corrections on the character of God. And not only that, it is an utterly amazing book because of its context and the content as an early piece of ancient literature. I wonder, have I sold it to you yet this morning? Read Job. We were born yesterday and know nothing. The words of Bildad the Shuhite in response to Job's griefs and sorrows and the trauma. Did you notice verse 4? If your sons have sinned against God, he has cast them away for their transgression. That's how not to counsel people who are grieving over the loss of their children, amongst other things. But Bildad flings verse 9 at Job, a dismissive dart at Job, which roughly means, you don't know anything, Job. Who does? And yet, that little phrase has great weight. We, all of us, especially in the 21st century, our modern day, we all of us like to think that we know a thing or two about life and the world and everything. And then you read that verse in Job. We were born yesterday, and we know nothing. It's very sobering, isn't it? So what do we know about the book of Job? Now, I need to say here that I am an unashamed six-day young earth creationist. So for me, the world, the earth, and everything is no more than 6,000 to 10,000 years old, and I would say probably between 6,000 and 7,000 years old at the most, which puts me at odds with probably most of the world, hopefully not with you this morning. But I believe God's word. I believe his account of the creation of all things. And those alleged 40,000-year-old cave paintings that have recently been discovered in Indonesia, in the news recently, well, they're a fiction. They're a fairy tale that is made to fit in with the evolutionary timescale, because atheists have to make things fit into their framework. And so we have 40,000-year-old cave paintings. Well, they're old, but they're not that old. And we need to remember that this morning. Why am I telling you this? Well, because currently we're in the year 5,786, according to the Jewish calendar, which is dated from the creation. And the Jewish calendar is based on the scriptures, and I think that it's about right. You can work it out from the ages of the patriarchs that are mentioned and their lifespans that are given there in the Bible. And Job, the book of Job, is set in the times of the patriarchs. That's sometime after Babel and a little time before the birth of Abraham, and that's around 2,000 years after the creation. The author is unknown. There are strong arguments that perhaps it was Moses, but whatever, it's one of the oldest books, one of the oldest accounts in the Bible, chronologically speaking. Most of you know I have a chronological Bible at home. It's not like your Bible because it puts everything in its chronological order, which our Bibles don't do. And Job comes right after chapter 11, which is the Babel, Tower of Babel incident. So this book of Job is a 4,000-year-old book of ancient wisdom from man's earliest days. Fascinating. And what you find is that Job is no caveman. In fact, he's remarkably similar to ourselves. When you read Job, you see the very same troubles, the very same concerns, the very same questions that exercised Job, exercise us. In the midst of all this that happened, you know, wouldn't you be asking the question, how do I make sense of all this? Job was. Wouldn't you be asking the question, what's life about? When things go terribly wrong, what's it all about? Why all this suffering? And so you begin to see that Job is relatable. Job is a real man. And Job has these real experiences in the real world, in real life, in the same world that you and I inhabit this morning. And the big lesson, the whole point of the book is that you see that his whole life is firmly grounded on God. And we watch and we witness as he passes from riches to rags, through grief and despair, back to riches and happiness once again. And through it all, he sticks to God. So read the book, because it's about life as you and I might experience it. Who knows what's ahead in the year ahead this morning? And read it because it points you in the right direction to be able to overcome what are sometimes disastrous life experiences. Job very definitely points you to God. And he very definitely points you to the Lord Jesus Christ, although the Son of God is never mentioned by name in the book of Job. But he is there, very clear and very easy to see. For example, listen to this that Job says. He says this, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth." Amazing. That is utterly amazing. Job doesn't have a Bible, let alone the New Testament. And yet he's able to come out with a statement like that. We commend Peter for recognizing Jesus Christ as the Son of God in Matthew 18. Well, this is Job's statement of faith. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that he will stand on the earth. And it's by no means the only remarkable statement in the book. Now, last week, John, our pastor, reminded us about the first mention of and the hope of the gospel way back in Genesis, in the beginning. Right at the fall, the seed of the woman, Jesus, who would crush the head of Satan and suffer for us and cover our sins. Well, the book of Job is set in those ancient days in Genesis. And it also speaks of the hope of the gospel, and it also speaks of the Son of God, whom you will find there in those pages if you look for him. Always be mindful of Jesus Christ, and you will find him, because Christ is in all the scriptures. the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Wonderful. So read the book of Job this morning. But my second point, my second takeaway, an action point for you this morning is to consider faith. Bildad says to Job, "We were born yesterday and know nothing." Those are words for us who think we know everything to take to heart. And the second point, consider faith, is really more of a word to those who are yet to believe the gospel. I'll just emphasize again, we were born yesterday and know nothing. And in all there is that you don't know, there is God. So, friends, what do we know? What do you know this morning about life and about the world? In truth, in reality, what do we know? We live in an age of unsurpassed knowledge and unsurpassed access to information. I think the modern 21st century that we live in is absolutely incredible and amazing in terms of the access to and the gathering up of knowledge that we have. Whatever you desire to know, you can ask the internet. Anything, anything at all that you want to know. YouTube can turn anyone into a home mechanic, or a plumber, or a cook, or a craftsman, and 1,001 other things. Everyone can be a doctor, a lawyer, a scientist, an expert. And for anybody with a smartphone, religion and history and spirituality and cosmology and 1,001 theories and conjectures and other things are literally at your fingertips. You can pass your degree with ChatGPT. You can. The information that we have access to. But did you know that the Bible makes a very interesting comment? It says this: many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. It's not in the book of Job, it's in Daniel, Daniel 12 and verse 1. That's us, isn't it? We stride the globe, we run here and there on the face of the earth, and gather up and gather up and gather up masses and masses of knowledge, more knowledge than we can handle. But consider faith, because Job pulls us up short, doesn't it, there in verse 9. For all that knowledge, we were born yesterday and know nothing. Consider faith this morning. It's a blistering truism, isn't it, in verse 9. We occupy a strange bubble in history, don't we, when men have ignored or forgotten the most important knowledge of all. What do we know, really? What do we know? What do you know? There's a famous proverb that says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." A reason to consider faith. The book of Job also says something very similar in chapter 28, verse 28. So Job has a great deal to teach modern unbelieving men and women, people who say no to God. Maybe that's you here this morning. So not least, you and I don't know as much as we think we know. And some of you don't know what really matters. In a similar vein, God disabused Job of the things that he didn't know, towards the end of the book in chapters 38 through 41. So Job's story takes us on a solemn journey, the journey through one man's life disaster and a terrible trauma that he suffered. And the thing I want you to note is that Job was a good man. We read that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man. That is what God said about Job in the throne room of heaven. There's nobody like him. He's blameless and upright. He was a good man. And then we're shown things, aren't we, that we did not know because they are normally hidden from us in plain sight. I just want to pick out three things that demand and caution you to consider faith this morning. First of all, in Job, we're taken behind the scenes to see what is normally unseen. Job chapter 1 and 2 are a masterclass in the things that you and I didn't know until God showed us those things, of course. We're taken behind the scenes with a peek into the spiritual realms, into heaven itself, and we observe the throne room of the great King of heaven and earth, and you get to see God and to hear God. And you also get to meet the great enemy of God and of man, Satan. And here's something to think about. In all that happened to Job, all of it is spiritual in origin and demonic in its ruthless affliction. It's not misfortune. It's not simply bad luck that he ran into. It's engineered and it's directed with intent toward Job. The Bible tells us that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, and he is not kind. And so you need to consider faith this morning, because Job lets us look behind the scenes. But secondly, you see a follower of God assailed and assaulted by the evil one. And we watch and we witness what happens as he is stripped of everything. And if that can happen to a good man and a follower of God, what about those who are defenseless against the evil one, who do not know God? We see that Job has nothing left, but he has God and he has faith. And it's not of himself, it is the gift of God, according to Ephesians 2 and verse 8. It is those who do not have faith who truly have nothing at all. So I caution you this morning to consider faith if you are not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to consider what will happen to you when you are stripped of everything. And you will be. Naked, you came into the world. Naked, you will go out of the world, and you can take nothing with you. And you will be stripped of everything as you stand before God. But thirdly, you see in Job that Job has the sure and certain hope of vindication and deliverance by God. He comes under great and terrible affliction, but he passes through it. Indeed, you see that the Lord God preserves him, and the Lord his God restores his life, and he is fully healed, and he is enabled to live out a full life. We read at the end of Job that the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. Job 42:12. He lived another 140 years. And I just remind you this morning, it is the Lord Jesus Christ, it is Job's Redeemer, who relates to us that parable of a house built on the sand and a house built on the rock in Matthew 7, verse 24. And the storm came and beat vehemently on those houses, and the house on the sand fell down. So consider faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Come in repentance of your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Son of God, and build your house upon the rock. So read the book, consider faith, and trust God. For you who are believers this morning, we were born yesterday and know nothing. So the book of Job is a message especially to believers. It has multiple applications. But if I was to summarize Job in just four helpful words, those words would be these: faith, suffering, sovereignty, and sufficiency. Four easy words to remember. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, Job is an important book. And the words that we read here are important words that you should mull over along the lines of all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable. They're words which speak and challenge us 40 centuries after they were written and our own walk of faith. In fact, I'd say that the words in Job, summed up in those four words that I just mentioned, they go to the heart of our faith and what it is to live as a believer. It's about faith. It's about suffering. It's about sovereignty. It's about sufficiency of our God. So I can't possibly do justice to the multiple takeaways. So just a few thoughts as we come to a close. First of all, if you are a believer this morning and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Job shouts, there is no immunity. You are not going to go through this life untouched and unscathed. Do not expect a charmed life as a Christian with no serious downturns and no severe adversities where troubles and disaster are absent. Don't expect that. And if you don't agree with me here this morning, read verse 9 again. We were born yesterday and know nothing. Job trod a path that Jesus himself later embraced and exemplified. You don't expect to find a type of Christ in Job, but Job is. He trod a similar path to Jesus, a life of faith, a life of suffering, a life of the experience of the sovereignty of God, and the experience of the sufficiency of his Saviour. And it was Jesus, wasn't it, who said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and what? Take up his cross and follow me. Job took up the cross before Christ ever got there. And then secondly, if you are a Christian this morning, see how brightly faith shines in the book of Job and in the man. And it tells us to trust God. It is a robust faith. It is an unbreakable faith. And that is a key characteristic of true faith. You cannot break it. Job rightly resisted his wife's advice in the beginning and espoused faith in God to the end of the book. I said earlier that Job lost everything. Rather, everything was ripped away from him. All that he once had was gone. And there's an obvious application, isn't there? What happens to you as a believer when life rips everything from you. Now, you might be here this morning as a disaster survivor, but you might face disaster in the years that are ahead. What happens when life strips everything from you? Your wealth, your children, your wife or your husband, your position and prestige in life, your health, your friends. Everything that Job had built in life was gone. And all that was left was the foundation upon which his life was built. And that foundation was God. And guess what? God was enough. God was sufficient. But let Job speak, because he says this: though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It doesn't say I will trust in him. It says I will trust him. I will trust him when there's no comfort coming from him. I will trust him. The Lord Jesus said something very, very similar, didn't he? In Gethsemane, on the night before his crucifixion, when he prayed, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. That's very similar to what Job said. In the matter of faith, when we look at Job, you and I were born yesterday and know nothing. And then finally, just a nod to that all-pervasive question, where was God when disaster struck Job? See, Job never saw what we see in chapter 1 and 2. All this disaster came upon him and happened without any explanation. The Lord God doesn't have to explain himself. You are simply to trust him. But there are two vitally important things that you must see amid the wreckage of Job's lived out experience. Number one, God was in control. God was in the driving seat and working out his purpose. One of those purposes was to prove Job, that is to strengthen his faith. But God was in control. So you notice, for example, God is the first one to speak, and God is the last one to speak in the book of Job. I am the first and the last. The last word, the first word belong to God in everything. And secondly, God knew what he was doing. Why is a question that we ask. God doesn't need to ask that question. He knew what he was doing. He had Satan's measure. He knew his servant Job. We are told that the Lord knows the end from the beginning, and known to the Lord are all his works. Think about those words, because they're extremely helpful and comforting. There is nothing outside of God's scope. He is in control and he knows what he is doing. And if you don't know these things, you were born yesterday and know nothing. Read the book, consider faith, and trust God.